And you know, and that stuck with me because it is true. There always is a source. And as he was mentioning, for the space shuttle, the source is the gas, you know, the fuel and the buttons and whatever internal workings of a space shuttle. But for us believers, the source is the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit, he's evident here today. And I know last week Michelle shared a little bit about being active while waiting, you know, like waiters in the Lord, and being not just still, but intentional, right? You know, there can be not a lot going on, but you can always have a lot going on in reading your word and praying and battling in prayer. And there could still be a lot going on in the quietness of your life. So, you know, I thought thus, and I really enjoyed listening to the online one, because basic truth. You know, sometimes as a church and Christians, we want like some new thought, right? Like it's got to be a new revelation, a new thought, which is good, right? But you know, in summer camp, we went, and I think the theme of the messages was about simplicity, right? Just simplicity. You know, we want this and we want that. We want things to move here. We want things to move there. But, you know, as Paul said, I've learned how to be at peace whether I have or I have not. You know, and Paul went through both extremes. Paul was a learned man. He had things. There was times when the offerings were coming in and people were giving him money. And then there was times when he was just in prison and had nothing. Paul was speaking what he was going through. I mean, he wasn't just speaking in theory. He was speaking reality, what he went through in his life. But there's this sense of the simplicity of keeping things simple, in the sense that it's not that complicated to read our Bibles, to pray. It's not that complicated to get on our knees and to be faithful in church attendance and to give faithfully in our tithes and offerings. It really isn't that complicated. But we sometimes just miss the simplicity of what we're supposed to be doing. The simplicity, we're all sinners and we need a Savior. That's pretty simple. I like that. And that's why I like Billy Graham's ministry so much, because he went and filled stadiums and he said the same thing. You're a sinner and you need a Savior. Now come and repent. And then you see the old videos, right, of Billy Graham crusades. Everyone coming down from the stadium, all the aisles, and coming to the field. Beautiful, because the simplicity. There is power in the name of Jesus. It's simple. You know, yes, there's a time to get intellectual and to dig deeper and really get in that. But boy, I'm just like having one of those moments right now where it's like, Lord, I just want the joy to, you know, that joy that our names are written in the book of life. That's it. Boy, that makes things so nice and simple and peaceful. At the end of the day, we're all going to leave this earth, and nothing's going to matter except that one thing, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And that, I find that exciting. I find that all I need. I find that in that is everything. And that's simple. Yes, there's work to do. And there's busyness to be had. There's life to do. There's work. But it never changes the simplicity that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So I wanted to start in Psalm 127, verse 1. You'll turn there. Here's a simple thought. Victoria today, so I'm fast. Except the Lord build a house, you labor in vain. Those that are building it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat, and to bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. The point here is that you can be a busybody and work, but if God is not in it, you labor in vain. That's simple. You know, this statement here, if you can go back to verse 1, this statement here is not just for, you know, this group of people or that group of people. It applies to pastors. It applies to leaders. It applies to the church work. It applies to your personal life. It applies to your home, to your work environment. If the Lord is not building what you're doing, you're working in vain. It's pretty simple. Amen? And the way to find out whether or not you're working in vain or not is back to the simplicity of, Lord, lead me, guide me. Lord, here I am, use me. Lord, what is it? Why do I keep doing this and I know it's wrong? Why, Lord, why? Analyzing your heart, being there is where you need to be. Be intentional about being where God is. Being intentional about putting God first in your life. So this applies to anything in your life. You know, you younger college age kids or you young adults or whether you're in your 30s, you're busy. You're busy. Okay? So is everyone else. Some more busier than others. Here's one thing that's funny I noticed at work. Some people look real busy, but I don't see a lot of work. Like, where's the work? But they're so busy, they never have time. And I see people working 8 to 5, and all I see is their work. You know? There's productive busy, right? There's unproductive busy. But it doesn't really matter. The work doesn't matter if God's not building it. If God's not building it, no, it doesn't really matter. Who is leading your life? Who's driving your life? Because if you're driving your life, you're proceeding in vain. As the scripture says, let Jesus be the driver of your life and you will journey with purpose. And you won't be laboring in vain. Be intentional in who you serve. Be intentional in what you do and putting God first in your life. Another way to look at this, it goes back to the word surrender. Surrender your will to God's will. Surrender. Surrender. And you won't be laboring in vain or going in circles or being in the wilderness. Surrender. We'll read it one more time. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So when you take it from a church, whatever we do, we can get real busy, right, with community work, right? But if we're not asking God to guide us and to lead us to the next step and the next step, then we just kind of are busy. Our hearts are pumping blood in vain, right? That's not what we want. So be intentional. Wait, pray, seek, ask God to guide you and to direct you, your life. Ask God to guide you. You know, for those of you making important decisions in your life, you know, whether you're younger in college, going into college, or you're older and you need to make an important decision. This is so important that you're able to separate your will from God's will. Because your will is all, let me tell you something, your will sounds fantastic. God's will doesn't always sound fantastic. Ask Joseph, right? That wasn't quite fantastic, being a slave and in prison. But it was beautiful. It was victory. It was awesome. You see, so as you're making these important decisions, make sure God's in it. Make sure God is in it. Here's one way you know God's not in it when you're making a decision. Is you don't... When you have that feeling that you're trying not to read your Bible and pray about it, more than likely you're not in God's... God's not in that. Because you're running away like Jonah. So get down on your knees and pray before these decisions and make sure you're able to separate your will from God's will. Sometimes they're close, sometimes they're not. But it's important you go through the exercise and make sure God is in it. Because if you don't, everything you do will be in vain. Or there'll be like wasted time or like wilderness time. And we don't want that for our young people. We don't want that for you as you're making decisions in your life. We want to be productive because time is short, right? Amen. Whatever God's doing, we got to get ready. And it's like, yeah, get ready, get ready. And I agree with what Rose said, that there's also going to be a wave of darkness in this. You know, it doesn't happen in a vacuum, but we're going to be victorious because God's in it. And if God's in it, that's all we need. That is all we need. You know, the world will teach you to take care of your own affairs, do what feels right, follow your own dreams, but the Word of God will teach you to be totally dependent on God. Those are two. The carnal world teaches you, you're on your own, do what's good for you, and the Word of God says, surrender to my will and let me lead you, guide you, give up your will. Wow. When you look at it that way, it's pretty simple and it's truth. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I like this scripture about surrender or humbling, because it's truth, and I've seen it. And people who try to lift themselves up, it's like a what is that, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, right? When you try just to lift yourself up, let everybody know how holy you are, it just doesn't quite fit. Because that's not biblical. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You see, the way it works is to humble. The opposite of humility is pride. And pride is basically John Sinatra's, I'll do it my way. Right? Remember that song? Frank Sinatra. What did I say? John. Where did I get that from? It's just an antibiotic speaking still. Frank Sinatra. Thank you. I did it my way. I'll do this on my own. I'm going to figure this out. My will is what I'm going to follow through. My will. God, you follow along with my will. And everything's going to work out because I know what I'm doing. See, that's pride. And God's not in pride. The author of pride is the devil himself, right? That's exactly what he did. I'm the greatest angel. I can do this my way. I'm like a god. Let me be a god. And pride took over and he was kicked out. So this scripture here, when you humble yourself. So pride is I'll do it my way. Humility is I surrender to God's ways. And I humble myself and I let Jesus drive. And I am in this with him, for him, about his calling. See, so when you actually humble yourself, and boy, God's good at this. I don't know if you figured this out. He knows how to humble us, right? Like, we want to do this in ministry, or we want to do that, and I want to do it this way. And God's like, Okay, eventually that might come, but I really want you to go over here and, like, you know, do the toilets first. And then do that, and then there's going to be an anointing in what you do, and next thing you know, people are going to be touched by, how can God be touched? You know, the most beautiful thing I've heard is about the parking lot, when people used to come and tell me that, wow, those people that are out there helping parking, and, you know, they smile, and they said welcome, and I felt so welcomed. And, you know, these little things, when you do them with all your heart and your passion, it makes a difference, and God will give you more and more gifts, right? But who wants to start there, right? Not everybody. You see the point here? Humility is like, okay, God, I guess I do find peace, and I'm going to walk here. I'm going to do this work. Maybe it wasn't the work I always thought I wanted to do, but I'm going to do this work, and I'm going to give it all my heart, and I'm going to touch a life in it. And when I can touch that one life in it, then, see, God's ways are so much bigger than our ways. You don't know that one life you're touching could be the next Billy Graham that God was preparing or whatever it may be. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. Humility is about surrendering. But here's what I like about this scripture, that you don't have to lift yourself up. In due time, God, as the scripture said, you put it back up. In His time, in His due time, He will exalt you. You see, we like to do the exalting first, right, of ourselves. But the way God works is you humble yourself, you do the work, and He will, in due time, lift you up. But not lift you up in a way like, you know, like, you know, you're king now or you rule everybody. But lift you up in the way that you don't have to carry a sign that you're holy. People will know that is a man, a woman of God. Because they love, they care. And He'll lift you up. To be totally dependent upon God is to be humble. Being humble is the opposite of pride. A prideful heart will not surrender. A prideful heart won't be totally dependent on God. When we do humble ourselves and surrender to God's will, God's mighty hand, then an amazing thing begins to happen. God begins to use and exalt you to impact other people. Amen. He does. And when God begins to use you to impact other people, the truth is that it's not you doing it. You're not actually impacting other people. It's the power and the spirit within you that is impacting other people. Amen. That's another thing, is when you start being used by God, like to talk to somebody. I don't know. Here's my experience. If you kind of been just hopping along and not consistent with your praying and your read, you can test God this way. Go and just say, I'm going to read my Bible and pray every day and be in church, you know, be faithful. Do it every day for a couple of weeks and then go talk to somebody about God. They will feel the power. Just try it. Because it's not you anymore, because you're being obedient, because you're surrendering, because you're humbling yourself. He will exalt you by the power in your words. You know, I'm not telling you to try this because I haven't, you know, when I was about in a teenager, right, going right into this college age group, I remember I just like, I'm going to read my Bible and pray every day because I don't know what to do with my life. And let's see what happens. And I remember I read and I prayed. And next thing I knew, I was talking to one of my neighbors and they looked at me and said, what is different with you? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just so excited about what I'm reading. Like, it makes sense to me. I understand that. I'm a sinner. I'm saved and my name's written. And I just didn't know that before. Now I know it. And they're just, you know, telling me, wow, you're different. When you begin to surrender to God and seek that daily relationship, you will speak to people and there will be power in your words. Maybe you're like, let me try that. It will work because there is truth in God's word. Excuse me. When God begins to use you to impact others, it's the Holy Spirit in you. It's not you. It's not because you figured it all out or you're so perfect. It's because God uses willing instruments. Jesus said he was the true vine. See, the reason why you begin to impact other people when you're truly connected to that daily walk with him is because you're connected to the true vine. And Jesus spelled this out very clearly if you turn to John 15, verse 5. Jesus spelled this out very clearly, and he said it in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. That's pretty clear and simple, isn't it? Amen. He's the vine. We are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. Boy, I like that. That's clear. He's the vine. We are the branches. He abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You see, when you begin to have that passionate relationship with Jesus Christ, picture it this way. When you have a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ, you are connected to the vine. And when you are connected to the vine, you will produce good fruit. And your words will have power. And when you pull somebody out that looks like they're having trouble at work or at Walmart or wherever you may be, and you say, let me pray for you, your prayer will have power. That's how you begin to change lives. You see, we're all looking, how do I impact the Lord? Pastor keeps saying, I'm a masterpiece and there's a great plan for God in my life. And I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. How do I? Just pray for somebody. Just begin with something simple and you'll see God in it. And when God's in it, it's not in vain. There's power. And he says clearly, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. There's a lot of Christians that are trying to produce fruit, but they're not surrendered. They're not letting God build it. They're not connected to that relationship every day with Jesus Christ. And it's nothing. Without Jesus Christ as the vine, we are nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if we don't abide in the vine, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. You see, if you disconnect the branch from the vine, you will wither. All right. Let me. You might not want to raise your hands, but let me ask the question, but don't answer it. How many in this place have backslidden when you disconnected yourself from the vine and you just tried to do your own thing? Boy, it's withered, isn't it? You just start being lost. You just start. We don't want to be there. We want to be connected to this vine. Because it says there that the branch withers. And not only that, that it's burnt and cast into the fire and it is burned. If ye abide in me, Jesus says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Amen. So here's another little key. You know, all those prayer requests that you have lined up. When you're connected to the vine, when you have this daily walk with him, when God is in it and you've surrendered your will to his will, then when you pray, since you're connected to the vine, he hears. And they're coming to pass. So your prayer requests are also dependent on being connected to the vine. And that's true. He hears you. He hears you. Without Jesus as our true center, our true foundation, our true vine, we can do nothing. If God is not in the labor in it, if God is not in it, we labor in vain. We got to be connected to the vine. We got to be letting God be in the work and building the house. We don't want to be laboring in vain. When God's moving, when the wave is coming, we don't want to be so busy laboring and we're missing it. A few weeks ago, I talked about the scales coming out of our eyes so we can see the next step God has for us. Amen? Jesus has to be number one. Not work, not your relationships, right? Not even your spouse, finances. Nothing can be number one. Jesus Christ has to drive. He's got to drive. Don't labor in vain. Don't be busy, busy, busy. Be connected to the vine. That's the simple message today. The simple message is there's got to be a source. The vine, Jesus Christ. He is the source. We don't want to be laboring in vain by being so busy but not letting God be in our decisions. We want to make sure Jesus Christ is the center of everything. Surrender to God's will. When we are intentional about making sure God is in it, in our lives, in our house, and we are connected to the vine, the scales will come off and we will be able to see very clearly what God's doing, what the next step is, that all is well. And be at peace and have joy. The church is really in need of seeing clearly. We are really in need of seeing clearly. What's right, what's wrong, we need to see clearly. We need to have the scales taken off because God's preparing us for His move. We want to see clearly. God is speaking to us, but can we hear it? God is directing us, but can we see the direction? Lord, remove the scales from our eyes so we can see what You're doing. We don't want to labor in vain. We don't want to be doing our own thing. We want to be where You are, God. We want to see what You see, God. We want to do what You're doing, God. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, I'm going to end with this. Before I go there, on Tuesdays, I'm not going to dig really deep in the study, but I do want to start spending some time on Tuesday just going through some of the thoughts and concepts in the book of Revelations. We kind of started this Tuesday, and I want to continue. So if you're interested in the book of Revelations, which is not a topic that we've talked a lot here on Sunday mornings, but if you're interested in kind of that kind of study, Tuesdays at 7, I'm going to begin kind of touching on some of these topics. And I don't know how long that's going to last or not, but at least for the rest of this month. And then we'll see if we want to do something a little more deep or not. But I want to just kind of do that. I just feel in my heart, just touch on that a little bit. The next few days, see where that goes. But for Tuesday's prayer meeting, we'll spend a little time on that on Tuesday nights. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, You know, the 70 people went out. Jesus sent them out with his power. And they were so just powerful, right? They were casting out demons. They were healing people. They were sent out. And God was in it because he sent them out. And the power of God was in it. They came back really excited. They thought they could conquer the world. But as Jesus does very nicely, he wanted to humble them right away. But this, I needed this, and it was part of today's service and earlier as God was speaking to us. But I needed to hear this, and I like this. Let's read that. Notwithstanding, do not rejoice, he's telling the 70, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, we sometimes get down because things aren't going our way. But sometimes when you're just in God's presence, things get redirected. And I'm just happy that we're saved. You know what? Who cares what else is going on in life? I'm going to be in heaven with him forever. That's all that matters. Sure, we want things to go great. They're here on this life. Sure, okay. But it's not about this life. It's about preparing us for the kingdom. And while we're here, taking as many people as we can with us. Amen. That's what it's about. Simple, right? So, on Tuesday, I'll spend a little time talking about where we're headed, what it's all really about. It's about the New Jerusalem, right? It's about a new heaven, a new earth. It's about all tears will be wiped away, the streets of gold. Wow. You know, that's what it's about. There's joy there. There's peace there. The river that flows, living water. And I needed that. I needed, do not rejoice because you have all this stuff going on. And although it's good, stay busy, as I think the sermon was last week, according to the interpretation I got. Stay busy waiting tables or stay busy. But that is not where our joy is. Our joy, when that soul gets saved, that's our joy is there because that person is going to be with us in the streets of gold, right? You know, redirecting about where my joy should be. Why should I be a person of joy? It's not because everything works out. I get the promotion, this, that. Those are great. It makes me happy. But that's not the end all. It's to know that your name is written in the book of life. It's to know that we need to make sure God's in our house building so we don't labor in vain. That's the simplicity. So let's all stand. I'm going to just close in prayer. But thank you for all your prayers. I've been a little under the weather. I think I'm coming out of it. Still have a little bit. But I thank you for your prayers. I really felt your prayers. And continue to pray for Pastor Green and Kathleen. They're working really hard. And she just told me today that we're working with the Marines again to get the toys ready for Christmas. And they're already on that. They're going to get busy, right? I still have in my heart to try to get enough turkeys to go out, but we might need to raise some money or use some of our church money to buy some turkeys to go out and give out turkeys and bless people and do all the stuff that we know we can do well and we want to do. So keep that in prayer because we want to impact this community. But right now, it just seems to be like, focus on you, your relationship with God. Make sure he's number one. Make sure you're not working, doing all of this work for the kingdom. And, you know, make sure you're not waking up on Sunday mornings to come to church in vain, right? Make sure you're doing it because you love God and he's first in your life. Make sure you got your priorities right. And we're in that season right now, like waiting tables. You know, what do you need? Okay, get it ready. All right, stay busy in your relationship with God. Stay busy in those things, and the wave is coming. So that's what it's about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message, Lord. We don't want to labor in vain, Lord. We want to be about your business, Lord. We want to make sure that you're first, that you are in it, that you're building this house, that you're building these lives, each and every one of us, that you are in the middle of everything, Lord, even when everything isn't going our way, even when people are not following you. And Lord, nothing's going to affect us because we stand alone in our relationship with you, because it's just about you, Lord. And I ask you this morning that each one of us, Lord, will leave this place just motivated and enthused to labor for your kingdom and make sure that you're in it. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that the work that's coming ahead, we'll be busy as time goes on, but the work that's coming ahead is not going to be in vain. Souls will be won. Victory will be won. Ground will be taken. And the enemy will run. Amen. Lord, we know. We know that you're at work. We know that the enemy has no chance. We know that when we put you first, when you are the vine, that fruit will be produced. And this morning, as we get ready to leave, help us to know that our joy, our peace, is dependent on one thing and one thing alone, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everything else, we trust you. And everything else, we trust you. In Jesus' name.